Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are so grateful for the glory of another day that the Lord has blessed us to experience. Holy Spirit has awakened us, and He has blessed us with a heart to seek after God. We thank you for joining us. We appreciate your love and your support, and we are just looking forward to the Lord imparting into us wisdom and words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette Thornton, and I am just excited. This weekend is the vision launch for the Hava Ministry Network Station. Hallelujah. LFC, Voices of Global Ministry, is taking over the airwaves, declaring and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we are excited to share the revelation of God's word and his heart with you on Blog Talk Radio. Tune in to past episodes to catch up. You can just email me at PC_Thornton, THORNTON, at yahoo.com for the information of logging in to listen to past episodes from all the Blog Talk Radio family. And the schedule is extensive and growing every day. Praise the Lord. And don't forget to mark your calendar. The reminder is tomorrow, Saturday, April 16th, from 12 to 2, and we will have the vision launch of Hava Broadcasting Network. The launch will take place at 2600 Matson Avenue in Matson, Illinois, 60443, and it will be located at the Colin Powell Middle School, and that entrance will be at door number 7. Hope to see you there tomorrow. Come and meet the Blog Talk family and the radio family in person as they present all of their ministries to the powerful ministry of Hava Broadcasting Network. We're live, and then we will be actually like television on the computer. Hallelujah. Praise God for all of the advances he is blessing us with. We are currently in the process of our prayer summit, and we are on the fourth prayer watch, in which we decree and declare, and we will do ours today. We command the morning and capture the day. Time is being redeemed. The people of God have taken authority over the fourth watch of the day. The spiritual airways and highways are being hijacked for Jesus. The atmosphere of the airways over you and me, our family, our church, our community, and our city, and our state and our nation is producing a new climate. This new climate is constructing a godly stronghold in times of trouble. The thinking of people will be conducive to the agenda of the kingdom of heaven. Every demonic agenda or evil thought pattern designed against the agenda of the kingdom of heaven is destroyed at the root of conception in the name of Jesus. We are strategically lined up the ladder that touches the third heaven and sits on earth. The angels are descending and ascending according to the words that we speak. Whatever we bound in earth and loose in earth is already bound and loosed in heaven. Revelation, healing, deliverance, peace, salvation, joy, relationships, finances, and resources that have been demonically blocked are being loosed unto us now. Let the people say now. What is being released unto us is transferring to every person that we associate ourselves with. We will become contagious blessers. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're all live. I have opened the lines for all of our callers to share. We have been in the Word looking at the next seven words of Christ after his resurrection. We'll review today the first two encounters that Christ had with his people, and the question was asked, who are you looking for? That was the first word we looked at. And then the next one was, do not be afraid. Greetings. We will continue to compare the impact of these words of our Savior upon us and our journey in the search for the power of our resurrection Savior. And we will look today at the third encounter reported after the resurrection, and that Christ said when he met the two men walking on the road to Emmaus, what are you concerned about? Hallelujah. What a question. What a question. We realize that the order of these sayings presented may vary depending on the version of scripture that you're using. The accounts are in various the Gospels, not all of them, but different ones of the Gospels. And the Gospels were not placed in the Bible in their chronological order. And so as a result, there may be a different order of, but these were the next seven sayings. We looked at the first saying, which was, who are you looking for? And just in summary of that, we realize that we have to understand the power and the purpose behind the risen Savior, and that it is ours. Even though time has passed, the question has not changed. Why are you crying? Who are you looking for? Jesus asked the women. Just remain at the tomb of your life. Jesus remains there in the dark corners of your past, begging us to look inside and see the power of a new beginning. It is our prayer that we will not allow the weight of our uncertainties to keep us from seeing and understanding the power and purpose behind the resurrection of Jesus Christ. John and Peter and Mary were three of the individuals who first encountered Christ at the tomb. But if he was, we have our callers on the line who have shared with us in time past, and we do say good morning to you. We encourage interaction. And what would be your take from that first greeting? Anyone that's on the line, just speak right up. Because as we follow what happened then, we want to associate it with what's going on now. Three people who were looking for different things. A king. Well, John looking for his friend. Peter looking for his teacher. The women looking for their Lord. And yet they were going to find him with a new characteristic. They were going to then find him. John was going to find him as the king, the returning king. Peter as his Lord, forgiving and loving, and the women as their Redeemer, their Savior. We saw some information as it related to the women and their position when they encountered Christ. We want to look at the pattern of the interactions and how God addressed them, because they just how he addresses our concerns today. He addresses the preparation that we must have in order to receive the power of the Pentecost Sunday, in order to receive the power for the ministry and for the life challenges that are before us, for a very troubling event had happened for them. And after that event was over, there was a need, a deep need, for him to present himself to them and to address their needs. And Christ addresses our needs even today. There is a scripture, and one of you can find it for me, that indicate if it were written all that Christ did those 40 days after the cross, that if they were written in books, that the world would not be able to contain those books. And I know that that's like, oh, wow, that's a lot. But think of the largest place that you have. Okay. Think of the largest place that you know, and then how many books would fill it? How many books would fill that place? And that is just not even a drop in the bucket. I have a call line. I believe all the lines are open.
Good morning, Uncle.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Enjoying what we are listening to, and as you were speaking regarding the next seven words, as it stated, what are you looking for? And then don't fear. I just begin to, and what are you concerned about? But when you stated about the don't fear, how many things fear has stolen from us, because it so keeps us paralyzed from the purpose and promise of God. And so for him to remind us that we're not going to find what it is we're looking for if we are cluttered and clouded with fears and insecurity, but there is a launching out, and then not just dealing with the fear aspect, but also taking into consideration that if we're in fear, immobilized by fear, our faith is being swallowed up by it, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it's no wonder that then he will turn around and say to us, what are you concerned about? Because fear and concern robs us of a very present joy.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. And that reminds us of the scripture that we have of that kind of was the backdrop for don't be afraid, and that is trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not try to rely on your own insight, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. It is not always that it says that we are turned away from our fear, because it's not that we conquer it or we rise above it, but because we choose to trust that God to direct our path. Waiting on him prepares us and builds our faith in him, and so fear cannot stand in the presence of faith. We love him, and as Peter said many times, you know, Lord, I love you. You know, I love you. But he was building up in Peter a confidence, not in Peter, but for Peter to have in Christ, knowing that if you love me, don't lean to your own understanding. Don't see the people the way you see them. Don't see your circumstances the way your eyes would view them, but rather just see me. And just as when Peter stepped out on the water, he could walk in the water as long as he saw Christ. But when he looked around, then fear crept in. And in so many places in Scripture, we see the word admonishing us, don't be afraid. So God is very much aware of our fears, of our anxieties, of our inhibitions. He's very much, and they're very valid. They're very valid on the normal human level, but he's saying us, look up, look to the hill, don't look around, look to me, build your, don't lean on, don't trust your own understanding of a situation, because that's how the world says it goes, or that's how it seems like it will go. Don't rely on that to be what fuels your emotions, but rather acknowledge me in all your ways. And that word acknowledge is something that I think is worth further study on our part, further a reflection upon, because that acknowledgement is the key to us viewing our circumstances the way God sees them. That's acknowledging him. And so I do encourage us to look deeper into that word, acknowledge, acknowledge, acknowledge. Are there any other comments, insights, and sharing from our callers on the line as we review the first two encounters of Christ after the resurrection? One of the points that was brought out. Yes, yes, good morning.
Good morning. I was just going to say that as Apostle was speaking and as you led into the whole idea of who are you looking for, just kind of reminds us that he knows what it is that we're searching for. You know, it's kind of like you hear a message and everybody says that word really spoke to me, but everybody has a different different resonating in their spirit with, you know, what that word was for them, you know, even though, you know, we're all sitting under the same word, that the Lord is so exacting in knowing what it is that we need, that when he says, you know, who are you looking for, knowing that they were looking for, you know, obviously they were looking for their master, but they were looking for him in different capacities, in different offices, and when we come,
yes,
and we're looking for him, that he knows what it is that we need, you know, whether it's a comforter, whether it is a companion, whether it is the love of our souls, whether it is our healer, whether it is our redeemer.
Yeah.
He knows this,
yeah,
that we are, what we are seeking for. And then the other thing that before it got to the actual word that he said, but the fact that Peter was still seeking, even though he had gotten out of line by his disobedience, that he was still in the hunt. He was still coming. And I think it just reminds me that a lot of times we get despondent. We know that we get out of line, you know, that we send an omission or commission, you know, whichever. And then I guess you could even say that it might be a certain level of fearfulness, you know, and guilt. Then we kind of cower back and don't get back in the game. But this showed Peter being aggressive, and you know, even though he had been checked and called out, and then of course the behavior followed exactly what Christ had told him, that, you know, he will deny me, that he was still right there back in you know, back in the hunt, you know. And that's just a reminder that, you know, we need to get back up, you know, that he's not the God of a second chance, but the God of another chance, you know, and he's faithful and just when we confess our sins to, you know, forgive us and cleanse us from all wrongdoing.
I do want to share with everybody, because you are on the line live, you may want to put your phone on mute unless you want to talk. And when you want to talk, if you take it off of mute, then you'll be right into the session with us. Thank you, Elder Deborah. Where, as you were speaking, there was a couple of sections, and we're looking at the seven next words of Christ, and our reference material, some of it comes from that book of that title, Finding Hope in the Resurrection Sayings, and from Shane Stanford. And one of the things he says is that is the real discontent of human existence may not really be fear, but it is a spiritual hunger, a desire for making sense of it all, and a hope that in some way or another it does matter. And he says, and if it could be that simple, then the real key to the good news of Jesus Christ that is not that God take away our fear, but align us with this all-consuming hunger. Because remember, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. It says, if this is true, the nature of the resurrection and of the entire Christian life, for that matter, is not so much one of perseverance. You know, we gotta stick in there. You know, we gotta persevere. But rather of feasting on the promise of God's unfolding work of grace. Hallelujah. And that makes the walk look totally different. So rather than, you know, really, I'm trying to be strong, I'm trying to do this thing, you know, and yet I stumble, I fall. But it says, rather than try to do that, then turn your focus to just feasting on the promises of God and of his unfolding grace in our life, which means he is going to constantly be revealing himself to us, be revealing his very best to us. And I think that this feasting on the promises, we then, our task then becomes, what are some of his promises? So sometimes we have this hunger, which brings this anxiety, because we're not aware of, you know, what's going on. And that's true with the women who were looking for Christ. The anxiety came because they couldn't understand what was going on. Their words was, you know, what have they done with my Savior? But if they had remembered the promise and had been looking to the promises that Christ gave them before he left, they would have, rather than had a fear or a concern, they would have had a joy and a praise, because he would be fulfilling what he said, I'm going to raise this temple up in 3 days. And so they would not have had that response. And so often we respond to circumstances because we don't know or don't remember some of the promises that God has made to us of his grace being upon our life. And one of the things I think that becomes necessary for us to reflect on is that we may know his promises. We may remember the promises that he has given us. But then do we believe them? Because it's the believing of them that caused them to release their power in our life. We have to believe it. And so it's our task, our assignment. It's our involvement in this journey that causes us to believe, because the scripture says, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believes, you know, in Jesus Christ will not perish." But do you believe? What does believe in him mean? And do we believe it? We may know what he did. We know he was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for our sins. But do we believe every sin and every situation he has overcome, because he told them he had now all power? And if he has all power and we have him, and one of his promises was that what he has, he then gives to us, and we have that as well as heirs and to the kingdom, then we have all power over those things that would attack or assault our life. And so we need to look into his resurrection power for the victory over those things. And so as we, one of the things he says is, refill for the journey, which we have to do. Every time life has challenges and we have those events that really challenge our spirit, it says Jesus did not intend for us to be unafraid in the sense of, you know, buck up, be strong, and just deal with it. No, he's saying, rest in me. I'll take the load off and refill you for the journey. And so we got a lot out of that, don't be afraid, and yet there's so much more in it to glean from, and I do encourage you to continue the study. And then he says they all the women they turned from their fears. They turned from their fears because it wasn't because they had conquered or rose above it, because then they trusted in the promise to direct his path, their path, because Christ appeared to them. He gave them a promise. Don't be afraid. You know, I'm going to meet you and go tell the men. Not only giving them a promise, but he also gave them purpose. He gave them purpose and direction, and that's what fueled them to then go forth. And so then that leads us up to the third word. What are you concerned about? So I think Minister Pat was going to read that is found in Luke 24, 13 through 34. Minister Pat can read that to us. We're going to get a couple of versions
yes.
so we can get a picture. Go right ahead.
Yes, good morning. I'm going to read from the Message Bible and the Living Bible. And so Luke 24, 13 through 34, the road to Emmaus. That same day, two of them were walking to the village Emmaus, about 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They were deep in conversation, going over all of these things that had happened. In the middle of their talk and questions, Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they were not able to recognize who he was. He asked, "What this you're discussing so intently as you walk along?" They just stood there, long-faced, like they had lost their best friend. Then one of them, his name was Cleophas, said, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hadn't heard what has happened during the last few days?" He said, "What has happened?" They said, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in work and word, blessed by both God and then our high priest and leader betrayed him, got him sentenced to death and crucified him. And we had our hopes up that he was the one about to deliver Israel. And it is now the third day since it happened. But now some of our women have completely confused us. Early this morning, they were at the tomb and couldn't find his body. They came back with the story that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of our friends went off to the tomb to check and found it empty, just as the woman said. But they didn't see Jesus. Then he said to them, so thick-headed, so slow-hearted, why can't you simply believe all that the prophet said? Don't you see that these things happen? Had to happen that the Messiah had to suffer and only then enter into his glory. Then he started at the beginning with the books of Moses, and he went on through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scripture that referred to him. They came to the edge of the village where they were headed, as if he were going on, but they pressed him. Stay and have supper with us. It's nearly evening. The day is done. So he went in with them, and here is what happened. He sat down at the table with them, taking the bread. He blessed and broke and gave it to them. At that moment, open-eyed, wide-eyed, they recognized him, and then he disappeared. Back and forth they talked. Didn't we feel on fire as he conversed with us on the road, as he opened up the scriptures for us? They didn't waste a minute. They were up and on their way back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their friends gathered together, talking away. It really happened. The master has been raised up. Simon saw him. And that was from the Message, now from the Living Bible.
Yes.
It states that and 13. That same day, Sunday, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles out of Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking of Jesus' death, when suddenly Jesus himself came alone and joined them and began walking beside them. But they didn't recognize him, for God kept them from it. "You seem to be in a deep discussion about something," he said. "What are you so concerned about?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. And one of them, Cleophas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hadn't heard about the terrible things that happened there last week." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth. They said he was a prophet who did incredible miracles and was a mighty teacher, highly regarded by both God and man. But the chief priests and our religious leaders arrested him and handed him over to the Roman government to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had thought he was the glorious Messiah and that he had come to rescue Israel. And now, besides all this, which happened 3 days ago, some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning and came back with an amazing report that his body was missing, and that they had seen some angels there who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, Jesus' body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, 'You are such foolish people. You find it so hard to believe all that the prophet wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted by the prophet that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his time of glory?' Then Jesus quoted them passage after passage from the writing of the prophet, beginning with the book of Genesis and going right on through the scripture, explaining what the passage meant and what they said about himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus would have gone on, but they begged him to stay the night with them. As it was getting late, so he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he asked God's blessing on the food and then took a small loaf of bread and broke it and was passing it over to them. When suddenly it was as though their eyes were open, they recognized him, and at that moment he disappeared. They began telling each other how their hearts had felt strangely warm as he talked with them and explained the scripture during the walk down the road. Within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem, where the 11 disciples and the other followers of Jesus greeted them with these words, 'The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter.'"
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Minister Pat. So as we hear the account of the third words being presented to now a group of disciples who are troubled. They're troubled, they're walking down, and how often is it when trouble comes and events around us and we gather with one another and we talk about all the details of what went on, all of the negative things, all of the pain and all the hurtful things and the experience that we're having. And our emotions are greatly affected by it. They're greatly affected by the situations we find ourselves in that are no fault of our own, but we look up and that's what it is. And so often there may be even situations that because we were obedient to God, we find ourselves in these situations. And as they walk with Christ and they listen to him, now they're all of a sudden in a very delicate place because they've just seen who they believe to have been their Savior and their Messiah. the one who was going to come and deliver them as a king. They just saw him being brutally beaten and persecuted and killed. And so they were troubled. These were real concerns that they had. And yet the scripture says that God tells us in this world you're going to have trouble. So this don't be shaken by it. The conversations that they have, they make it not a description of this is our reality. What has God said? What is it He is saying to us in this? We will be tested, tortured, and tried, scattered, yes, and scared, confused often. We will even consider sometimes just leaving it all or throwing our hands up, because in this world we will have trouble. There won't be justice. There will be injustices and cruelties as we see all around us. And so to say, you're going to have trouble, that seems to be unnerving, especially in a situation where it seems like He doesn't hear our prayers. Is He there? Have I just messed up so till, I can't even see what tomorrow will bring? That was the kind of distress that these disciples were in that were walking on the road to Emmaus. They tried to appear strong, but their hearts responded very differently. They want to appear strong among each other, but out in the world, they appear fearful. They didn't know if they would be next. But Jesus was just giving them a glimpse, actually, of what was ahead for them. He wasn't teasing them or toying with them or even being harsh with them in His response to what they were saying, but rather what He was doing, He was causing them to not be self-centered or so consumed with their interpretation of the event, but He was pushing them beyond their despair to help them to even see through the pain and the confusion and the disappointment and to see Him, to look for Him, to hope for Him, to remember Him, to acknowledge Him and trust Him to bring them to expected end, a good end. And remember, we have a great advantage over them because we have the whole scripture and we've read it and we've heard and it's been taught and preached to us. And so we know how it's going to end. But they were walking in the midst and they didn't know the ending of this whole event. And that's the way we are today when we encounter life's challenges and tragedies. We don't know the end because God sees the end, though, from the beginning. So He does, and He has promised to always help and to be there and to give us everything we need and to comfort us and to keep us and to His thoughts towards us, and that whatever concerns us is concerning Him. So just like the disciples who didn't know how their lives would unfold and pan out now that their Savior had been crucified and His body missing. We don't often know in the place that we are, how is this going to look? What is the next thing God's going to say? And is He going to say anything? I don't hear Him. It's not clear to me. It was a wonderful song. I intended to get it for the broadcast, but the song is Order My Steps. In Your Word, dear Lord, order my steps in Your Word. One of the mothers of the church is saying that's one of the solos that she was often asked to sing, and she brought it to my remembrance on Sunday when she was sharing that with me, and it's like how appropriate it is for these challenges that these disciples were having. What are you so concerned about. You know, list your anxieties. And as you list them, as you see them, there is a word that will order your thinking regarding them. And it'll change your thinking. And it will give you the mind of Christ and the viewpoint of a God's eye view and not a viewpoint of unvictorious, vulnerable individuals, because we are not. He says that, you know, because he has overcome, we were overcome, and we thought, well, that's real nice, we'll go to heaven. But he was saying overcome every emotion, every circumstance, every situation, every concern. We will overcome it if we order our steps in his word. It's his word is what we have to stand on. Every step we take has to be on a word of God that we not only know, but we believe. And then we believe it enough to stand on it. And when we stand on it, he enlarges our territory so that we can continue in a way of victory, so that we become that contagious, blessed person that we spoke and decreed and declared in our fourth prayer watch prayer. We will become contagiously blessed, contagiously joyous, and that joy brings a strength that through our weakness, he is made strong. In other words, they'll see him and not us, and that's what draws people. So often when we want to be the answer, then people look to us for an answer. And we don't have the answer. All we have is Christ. And that's who we have to give. And we give Christ by standing on his word and bringing his word alive in their lives through what it is they see us doing. Which was interesting, because they were talking about Christ. They said, oh, he was such a teacher. And, oh, when he stood and he spoke in the synagogue. So they had known him as a teacher. But it was time for them to get introduced to him as a redeemer, as a God, as a deliverer, as a healer. And they saw him healing people. So they knew him like that, but they didn't know him as the king, all-powerful, they didn't know him as that. And so he was revealing that part of himself to them, and that's the part of him that will dispel any concerns we may have. It's one thing with an infant with a parent. Or not even just so much an infant, but a young child, if they feel in danger, when they see their parent, then it's okay. It doesn't matter who do what. You know, mom and daddy has me. And that's how it is with Christ. No matter what it is that's around us, you know, if we know he's with us, then it doesn't matter, because he tells us, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Comments, questions, insights, sharing. You're live. You can take your phones off mute, and you will be heard. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Overseer, I just wanted to share. As you were talking, there were a couple things that kind of jumped out, and they're not in any particular order, but the whole idea that the two men walking on the road, I think a lot of times we try to jockey and position ourselves to be close to folks that we feel are anointed and those kinds of things. But these were just two brothers who were walking on the road. They do go on to name one. I think they said it was Cephas or Cleophas. I don't have that scripture right in front of me. But the fact that all of us are important. And that he is no respecter of person. And so just as they were lamenting over what they thought the loss of the Savior, and one of the things I also thought was interesting, that all of the various translations talk about the fact that they said 2 days have passed. You know, now it's the third day. So, you know, really feeling despondent that, okay, just like you said, they knew him as a teacher, and they understood what he said was going to happen on the third day, and now they're looking at, like, and now it's the third day, and things haven't gotten, you know, things haven't gotten any better. But it shows them moving from a kind of like an external relationship to a more intimate relationship as Christ is in their midst and starts to tell them, reveal himself, you know, through the scriptures, you know, as they're walking along, and just tell them that, you know, that you're dull and you're mindless, and you're, you know, as he in one of the versions it even calls him a fool, you know, but not like in correction, but correction in love, because he goes on to give them, you know, the revelation. The revelation of himself. And then the other thing is the fact that they had just walked the 7 miles to Emmaus, and once he revealed himself by breaking bread with them, they got up immediately and went back to tell the 11. And, you know, just the whole idea that when there is a change, you know, they're coming in. So they're like, you know, come stay with us because the day is far spent. And but once they really see who he is, then they can't help but to get up from the table and turn and go back the 7 miles. You know, that whole number of completion both ways. You know, they got what they needed on one end, and they came back to take that back, you know, to the 11 and let them know. But just wanted to
Amen. And I think also bringing up the point of when he broke bread with them, he provided to them himself as the bread of life. They saw him dead and gone, but he presented himself as the bread of life, and that's when they saw him. That's when they got excited. That's when they believed what they had heard, and that's when it made sense.
Yes.
And that's what fueled them. And so their situation had not changed at all. Circumstances were still the same. Saul was somewhere getting a letter to kill all of the Christians. I mean, you know, the king wanted them dead, and the governor and everybody. So nothing had changed. But what?
Yeah. And, you know, as you were saying that, where I'm sorry.
No,
I was gonna say, as you were saying that, where it said their hearts burned when he was sharing the scriptures, but their eyes were open when he broke bread.
Yeah.
You know, from glory to glory. Yeah.
Absolutely. Hallelujah. So it's something to the way he's showing us, he's doing the same thing now, the same thing. So we can be in a service, and truly our hearts are on fire for the Lord. But it takes an experience in our journey that will cause our eyes to become open. Because, that, as you say, that's when that intimacy, it gets into us as we see him. He says, in spite of no matter how tremendous the cost may be, you know, give up your job, give up your family, you know, give up your church sometimes, your church membership, you know, because he's sending you somewhere else. And sometimes that's very difficult to make certain sacrifices, just like he asked Abraham to make with Isaac, but he gave it up. And no matter what the cost is, it teaches us to trust beyond the horizon of what we can see, to understand and to take hold of, again, there it goes back to God's promises. We realize that the same God who often requires that we place our hearts and lives on the auction block also provides an assurance that boosts our spiritual confidence in him, thereby calming our fears or satisfying our spiritual hunger for it to make sense, our spiritual hunger for, you know, do I matter? You know, what is this about? And it's like it's about you and it's about him and his thoughts towards us. The scripture highlights several promises regarding our encounter with Christ, And all of them are in response to the scripture where he says, in this world you will have trouble. But there are encounter scriptures that we are to step on as he orders our steps. As he orders our steps, we will step on those scriptures, and they will produce in our hearts burning, but in our eyesight, we will see him in a new way that we've never seen him, a way that we haven't seen him. Your comments and questions, insights, inspirations that you would love to share, we would love to hear from you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to piggyback on that about the two guys walking. You know, you get to a point in your life where you trust, you believe, you acknowledge, you know God's presence, you know he's there, but everything still seems to be going wrong, that you have all these obstacles thrown at you and your spirit is trying to be broken, but you keep moving on and pressing forward. You know, that's kind of hard to get through, especially in this day and age, you know, where it's like if you could just, you know, God, just touch me, just show me, you know, what direction you want me to go through, where you want me to be at, you know, and you can kind of, you know, make it easier to go forward. But when you're doing all of this and you have your faith and your belief and your trust and you still don't see any results, you know, how you keep moving forward?
And that's a wonderful question. And you know what? That is why he did so much after his resurrection, because he knew that we would have questions like that. All he could give the people, and it said he appeared to those that he loved, is himself. And it's our seeking him. He said, rest in me. Well, Lord, how do I know how to rest in you? And he says, you know, I'll order your steps, and I'll place your step on a word of life, and it will bring to you that comfort that you need while you wait. There is a waiting that grows our spirit, that waiting has to just, it takes time. That's one of the seven elements. It's time, it's honesty, it's the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, and that's part of acknowledging God, acknowledging the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, but it's also affirming relationships, and it's time, and it takes time. But he says, and we declared that in our morning prayer, you know, we declared that he redeemed the time. You know, there's a time where they're under the altar, and they go, how long, Lord, how long, Lord? And he gives them, it's coming, it's coming. Just his words to us. It's just like a child who is anxious for something, and the parent says, it's coming, it's coming, it's going to be all right, and they find comfort in just those words. They don't have what it is they're waiting on, but they know it's coming, and more than that, you're there giving them the comfort of it's coming. And so because they trust you and your presence is with them, it brings peace to them and allows them to wait more earnestly, not perfectly, but earnestly. And he understands that. He understands. That's why he told us, don't get weary in well-doing. You will reap. You really, you are in so in line for, as Reverend Shirley Caesar said, you're so in line for a miracle. You're there, and it's coming. And so that's another one of the declarations, and I praise God for it, of this one of the declarations of this prayer watch is being strategically lined up. And so sometimes you just have to get in line, you know, and you got to stay there. You have to labor in love in what you're doing. So even for what each one of the encounters that Christ had after he rose with the women, they were then given, after he comforted them, and remember, the comfort doesn't wipe out everything, but it just kind of, it's a booster. It gets you going. And then he gave them an assignment. So he sent them out to do something. So when we are in our purpose, while we're waiting, our purpose brings us the pleasure of being at his right hand. It brings us those things that will get us the joy and the peace as we're waiting on the promise and the prize. And so it's part of what we shared last week. It's knowing that for the women in the garden, the last time they were in a garden with God, they didn't do so good. They started, a chain reaction that, caused sin to enter the world, and a lot of very negative things happened as a result. Negative is an understatement, as a result. But God had a plan. And so this time around in the garden, when they met him, they chose to worship him. They took the position of bowing down at his feet and actually putting their hands around his feet, holding on to him. And that's what we have to do. We have to hold on to him. We have to hold on to the truths that we know about him. And every time a thought would rise up that would bring the anxiety and the pain and the tears, we put that thought under a word, under a word that we're deeply loved and we're pleasing, we're totally forgiven. And, when you start speaking the words that are true, then Holy Spirit gives us an insight to the power of that truth. So to be totally forgiven, as not that he brings our sins before us, but when we understand just how unworthy we are because of what we've ever done, then we become so humbly in love with him that whatever he does is okay, because he's going to do it in love for us. And just the gratefulness of our hearts, I think that's one of the messages that the elder had, is that gratitude of love. Not that the gratitude will fuel our behavior, but the gratitude will color our response and our attitude. And our attitude and our emotions are what then transforms our behavior. And so we wait in a hope. We don't wait hopelessly, but we wait because we have a hope that, you know what? And in this life, though in this world you will have trouble, in this life you will have joy, you will have peace, and you will have prosperity, because those are some of the promises that he gives us. And so we look to them, and they become our hope. What is a hope? These are words that we use, and it's like, well, what does that mean? Well, hope is the staying power of our mind in joy. So it's what keeps my mind in joy is the hope that I have in Christ for all things, for anything, for other things. Okay, and so when we attach it to our living, and when we apply it to our response to life, he will make us in alignment with him. He will make us strategically placed in the right place to receive the blessings from heaven. And sometimes it's just this new climate that is being constructed by God through the work of the ministries, this new atmosphere, this new environment, it has to be built. It has to be strengthened. It has to be established. And that's one of the things that just having association with such a wonderful ministry, and I don't say it, in bragging or in boasting, except in God, a ministry that really addresses every need and response that we might have spiritually to everything that would come our way. And God has established it in the ministry. And so that's a great blessing. That's an encouragement. And you know, we have others on the line. Is a bishop on the line with us today?
Yes. Hello?
Yes, good morning. Hello?
Hello? Okay.
Yes.
I was just going to say, I like the part that they was walking together, and oftentimes we think we have to deal with a situation or circumstances all by ourselves, but we realize that we don't have to go alone or we don't have to do things alone. We can ask for help, and God have put, as you said a few minutes ago, a spiritual leader, a spiritual ministry that you can speak to them, and they will help you in a situation or lead you in the direction you need to go to get the help that you need. And I thank God for our spiritual leader, Apostolic Dr. Apostle Sonny Halton, and you overseer, because, and also the ministry in itself, that we have a safe haven and we have a place where we can address our concerns. And that is just so important, because a lot of places might not have that safe haven. So I truly thank God for that.
And, you know, I think another point that you brought out, Minister Pat, is the fact that, you know, not only you're not alone, but it is something that as we walk together and we talk about those things and those victories that we have, but so often we do try to be strong and we don't want people to know that we're going through and all of that. So we're really being dishonest to people, you know, faking it, because it's not true. And so as a result, when they start going through things, they think, well, you know, I got to look a certain way and be a certain way because no one else, you know, is, you know, they got it together. No, well, none of us have it together. We just got it in Christ. But we don't often share that. And so walking and together and breaking bread together, two very, very intimate things, because how can two walk together except they agree? So when you walk with people that's in agreements with you of Christ and his life, his function, and his place in our life, and as we do that, I think we become more honest with one another, which it says, you know, to you know, share your weaknesses one with the confess your faults one to another, so that we know that this does happen. It's a human response. It's a valid response, and God has a way, and he gets us out so that we can then turn around and help someone else come out, but not coming out as though we've overcome, even though we've overcome because of him. Or that we never did it because we were strong and all of that in faith. No, we struggled just like these disciples who walked with Jesus and touched him, just as they doubted and struggled and had these challenges. But as we're honest about them to one another, then we get the clear picture, not just so much of the struggle, but what the victory looks like as we go through the struggle. And that becomes an encouragement, you know. So just like they have all kinds of programs of, you know, with Alcohol Anonymous or cancer survivors, you know, when you see someone else has and you're in the midst of it, then it gives you a hope, something to look to, and something to gain strength from. And that same environment starts with the church, with church members, the church body, and those who are part of the family of Christ. And so as we walk together, as we break bread together on an intimate level, as we are intimately involved spiritually in one another's life, and then we bring a holistic hope to them in every area of concern. And that's part of the walk of the body of Christ being fitly joined together. And so it's often those that we have to become attached with spiritually that will encourage, just like with the Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not real familiar with it, but I do know that on some level there's a constant or open channel. Anytime, you know, a person is in need, they can reach out to their, I call them accountability partner, I don't know if they're sponsor or what, exactly what the term is, but they can always, because they understand you're going to need it. You're going to need to be able to reach out and touch someone, and they make that someone available on a very one-on-one type of relationship, which is like that breaking bread together. And so as you break bread together, as he broke it, you're able to see Christ in a different way through that which someone else has experienced him as. And so it gives you a hope. It gives you a hope. And wonderful, wonderful insight and wonderful sharing this morning. I was obedient to God and to the apostle, and I set our time up together to be 90 minutes. And it's a good thing because we have gone over our 1 hour, and I thank everyone. We still have time, and any sharing that you would like to do, you are encouraged to do it, sharing and insight and concern. I realize that for you have to take your phone off mute if you want to speak, but the line is open and you can. We're excited for the ministry and all that it is becoming involved in. We encourage everyone to take advantage of all of the powerful, anointed ministries that are on your Blog Talk. There are so many different formats. They're not all the same. They're very different. Tequila worship is a meditation and scriptural time. You have the real talk. So many ministries. There's a whole guide, if you will, of all of the ministries that are on Blog Talk and their times and how to access them live as well as past episodes. So we want to remember for this third word, what are you concerned about? That Christ cares about everything that affects you. He wants us to find a new perspective during our feasting. And remember, we had said on Don't Be Afraid that he wants us to, everybody can just remember, he wants us to feast. I'm looking it up. He wants us to feast on the promise of God's unfolding grace. So we need to know what grace is. We need to know what it looks like when it unfolds. We need to get excited about that unfolding in our lives and through our lives and to our lives, and how it will make a difference on the perspective of our lives and unfolding, feasting on that and not being afraid. So obviously it is annoying for fear. We also want to be sure that God is always present and he does truly care. And the despair and the confusion on our journey may seem all too familiar, but it is also reassuring that because it remains and it reminds each one of us that in spite of our misgivings and our concerns, that he promises he will be there. He truly cares. That's that steps in the sand. He's carrying you. And embrace him as he embraces you in his bosom. It's God's intentions for your life, though different from what you may have expected, are richer than you could ever imagine. The scripture declaration that the church had for so many years, the exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever hope or think. That's his giving to us as we journey with him. So often we think our prayers are unanswered, but that may be the answer. We are always encouraged to understand that God, with loving kindness, he draws us and he keeps us and he loves us. Now, our prayer declaration, as we prepare to go through this day with the Lord, continue. I am pulling it up, and there's opportunity for sharing your insights and your concerns. Okay, for me, the prayer focus is going to be the fifth prayer watch, which is our prayer watch. It's from 6 a.m. to 9. It's that we declare that we are able to do all things through Christ Jesus, who gives us strength. We declare that the greater one lives in us and he abides in us. The Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that Jesus Christ is our wisdom, our redeemer, and our righteousness. Father, in the name of Jesus, according to your word, I pray that all authority in the realm of the government and the church, for your word says that the powers that be are ordained by you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for our comfort, our advocate, and your Holy Spirit, who leads us and guides us into all truth. We thank you that this prayer watch activity is a prayer watch of being empowered. We are empowered to stand, having done all stand. We ask God and we expect God to strengthen and keep us. And the spiritual significance actually of the sunrise, you know, is the sun, S-U-N and the sun, O-N, rises over us. This risen sun, the risen Savior, and that's what we are sharing in this season, the seven next sayings of Christ, rising over us and empowering us to carry out his will in our life. It's a time that we can glorify God. And we thank him in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Evangelist Roberta, are you on the line with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. You have some scriptures under number 5. Did you have your scriptures with you?
Page 5?
The ones under number 5.
Number 5, which I'm not sure.
Well, it
says page 5, where is it?
Okay.
Luke 24 or before then?
Yes.
Luke 24 and 13.
Ma'am.
And
mm-hmm.
Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem.
Start with us on 7.
page 7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Luke 24:27.
Mm-hmm.
And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
And then go to Luke 24 and 36 on page 8. And that will prepare us for our coming week.
And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you.
Continue.
Luke 24:44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold,
Amen.
I send the promise. Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
You want the last one? And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endowed with power from on high.
Amen. Amen. And that is a pathway. That is walking, ordering our steps on his word. These are the steps that we have to stand upon that he shared, and that's what we'll go through. Peace be unto you. And when Christ speaks peace, what that means to us. But if you see this, it says, which was written in the laws of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. So I would encourage everyone in preparation for next week to what is in the book of Psalms. What are some of the scriptures in the book of Psalms concerning Christ and us? Because those are they form the pathway that will order our steps in his word. So I thank each one of you for your sharing. I appreciate the ministry of the Holy Spirit as he brings us together in the word, and how he allows us to just be enlightened by his truth. And it's not everybody he gives this enlightenment to. So when he gives it to us, we are blessed and we are highly favored, and we're receiving his grace. That's part of his unfolding grace in our life. But he allows his word to be seen in our spirit and believed in our souls. So I thank each one of you for sharing. I praise God for your presence and for your participation and for your purpose and for the power that you add to this going forth in words from the word. This is your overseer, Paulette Thornton, wishing you a blessed and prosperous and marvelous week until we meet again. Amen and good night. Good night, all. Have a good day. Good night. Good night, again.